It's time for Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. This is a weekly podcast featuring Adam Awson, writer for the weekly publication Current in Carmel. You can read Adam online at currentincarmel.com. My name is Larry Lannon. I write a local news blog from Fishers, Indiana at larryinfishers.com. Adam and I are not reviewing a film this week. Instead, Adam leads a discussion surrounding the upcoming Star Wars film. We recorded this podcast December 9th, a few days prior to the release of the new Star Wars movie. So, let's get started with the discussion. Welcome once again to Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. We're once again at the Donatello's Italian Restaurant, 9 West Main Street in downtown Carmel. Welcome back, Adam.
Awesome. Good to see you, Larry.
Adam Awesome's back, and we have a very special program today. The best part of it is you won't have to hear my voice after this little segment, because we'll have Adam leading a discussion with three other people about Star Wars. You want to briefly talk about the people and the backgrounds of the people who will be involved in this discussion?
So I try to find three big Star Wars fans, and I've actually, or two or three, but we ended up with three, and there was more applicants than we had available, so we actually had to pare it down. We've got Judge Brian Poindexter of the City of Carmel, so we've got kind of a political type, someone that you may not know is into Star Wars. Then we've got two traditional film industry people, Greg Sorvig and Craig Mintz, both have been on our podcast before. Craig Mintz is the director of the IMAX State Museum, which will be showing Star Wars, and Greg Sorvig, who is the director of marketing and programming for Heartland Film and probably one of the biggest Star Wars fans I know. And I haven't known him that long, but this guy knows everything about Star Wars, as you'll hear in the discussion coming up. I do want to hear Larry's thoughts on Star Wars, because Larry was so busy engineering. It's tough doing three people talking at once, so he was
actually
busy.
Four,
yeah. Well, I try not to say too much, but try to get the levels right. So Larry kind of was off to the side. So I want to hear what Larry's Star Wars memories are, theories. What do you have to say, Larry?
Well, I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast that I first saw it in 76. I'm one of the older people in the crowd. Brian's a little younger than I am, but we're the older part of the crowd. And I remember taking my two younger brothers and my nephew, and we had no idea what this film was about, and I walked in and just got blown away by what I saw. Number one, and I'll say it again, Star Wars changed the entire framework of what people are willing to spend in a film. And I know that George Lucas had to push to get the budget he wanted. The studio pushed back. But the final special effects and the way that movie looked, the way the movie felt, and the sound system, I saw it in one of those, at that time, very advanced Dolby system, which wasn't around everywhere, really added a lot to the experience. So it blew me away the first time I saw it. But it was more than just that. It was an interesting story. And it's almost like an up-to-date Western. You look at that barroom scene that they have in the first Star Wars film. That's like going to an old Western saloon. And then you have the Force, the dark side, and the good side. And that is sort of that good versus evil. There's a religious undertone to all that. So some of the themes in that original film brought some very important themes you see in films all the time. And of course, now once that film took off in popularity and made tremendous amounts of money for the studio, it's just gone on from there. And we continue that. And I think it was Brian that will say a little later on that, you know, his grandchildren are going to watch these films. I mean, it's just going to continue because people love the story. They love the technology. They love the science fiction side of it. It just pushes a lot of different buttons. So Star Wars will always have kind of a special part in my movie-going experience. My wife, Jane, is a big fan of science fiction, a specific fan of Star Wars. Anytime there's a new Star Wars film, we're going to arrange to see it. I think I may have mentioned this to you before. My wife retires after almost 35 years of working for the same company. And I do a tax school that I do every year for Indiana University. And the day she retires is the last day. I'm doing a tax school this year. The next day, we are going to find a place to go see Star Wars. And we plan on having a good time seeing it because we're both going to enjoy it. It's a part of American movie making. This is something, and people don't always realize this, Adam. This is something America exports to the world. China and other places are trying to get into this exporting a motion picture thing, but they still don't have the magic Hollywood has. And it was a man like George Lucas that made Star Wars an international phenomenon. So I'm looking forward to it. It's been a part of me growing as someone who started to really enjoy films in the 1970s. I mean, in the 60s, I was a kid. There wasn't a movie theater close to where I lived. Anytime I could get to a theater, I would. But it was in the 70s, as I get into adulthood, that I really start to enjoy going to movies all the time. And Star Wars was a part of that experience.
So do you have a favorite Star Wars movie?
I think the first one will always be my favorite, just because it started everything. The others have been very good, don't get me wrong, but without the first one, we don't have anything after that. I just thought that was very original. George Lucas and a whole group of people, those technicians, everyone involved in that, broke new ground in filmmaking. They've continued to do it, but that was the big breakthrough, the first Star Wars.
Now, do you have thoughts about the prequels? A lot of people hate them. Do you feel the same way as others, or do you not mind them as much?
Mind them if they're done well. I mean, it's like anything else, Adam. You can do them poorly, and you can do them well, but it seems that the people that have that franchise, they really know how to do this. I mean, I would say the last Star Wars film was a Rogue One. It was probably the weakest of the entire series, but it was still a good film. So, I mean, that was just my opinion. And as you'll hear later, that was not the opinion of a lot of people.
No, they loved that one. Yeah. I heard that Rogue One had some reshoots, and it kind of showed to me. Any film that goes through a lot of reshoots, which is, it was going to be a bad movie, whatever, but that Justice League movie, you could see the reshoots. You could see where it was one director to another, and that's never a good thing.
And that's sad, because that was a very much anticipated film, but it doesn't meet your expectations. So I'm hoping very much that we get a really good experience. I have to tell you, I don't know if you listened to the podcast I did with my nephew, but my nephew works out in Los Angeles for the company owned by Kathleen Kennedy and her husband. And so he said the company he works for doesn't have a lot to do with Star Wars. They have a few contracts with it. But I think he knows more than he's willing to let on.
Does he get to see it early?
I think he does, although he wouldn't commit to that.
Oh, yeah. You can't tell people if you saw it early, because they'll tie you up and torture you to tell you.
Craig Mensch, you know, he runs a theater. He's going to have to see it just to make sure the film is in good shape.
But he didn't want everyone to know.
He didn't want people to know it, because he doesn't want people bothering him about, okay, what happened? Or can I come in and see it? But he's right. When you have digital to some extent, but when you're dealing with film, you have to screen the whole thing and make sure it's in good shape before you show it before a paying audience.
So we've got some good stuff coming up toward the end of this month, and really even early weeks of 2018. We're doing a lot of best of, and me and Larry are trying to catch up and see everything before we craft our best of list. We'll probably do that in one episode, you think?
I think I just saw that I, Tonya is going to be released next month. So that'll be one of the films we'll be taking a look at.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It won't even have shown here in the Indianapolis area, although it will be screened in New York and L.A. in time to be a part of the Oscars.
And then, but we've already seen The Shape of the Water, mm-hmm. and we were going to review that today, but then our Star Wars conversation went a little long, so we're going to save that till next week. But a little spoiler, we both really enjoyed The Shape of the Water. We'll kind of go into some more detail about that next week. I think it'll probably get a Best Picture nomination, and at least be in that, because they're doing about 10 nominees for Best Picture nowadays, or 8 or 9. So
we've got some particular acting performances that are going to be in there, too.
So not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think that's going to be a really great film there. I plan on seeing Disaster Artist this Sunday, and we'll talk about that next week. That's the James Franco movie about Tommy Wiseau's making of The Room. So that they say that could be a sleeper Oscar nominee too, which is kind of surprising, but that should be interesting. And then, of course, you're going to probably see Star Wars before me. I'm not going to see it until after our next recording. I got my Sunday tickets, but you said you're probably going to see it Thursday or Friday.
We're going to try to see it this weekend, and so we'll see.
We might have a lot to talk about next episode.
Okay, very good. Well, what we're going to do now is just transition into our group discussion about Star Wars. You're listening to Hamilton County Goes to the Movies.
Today we've got a very special episode of Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. Larry, I think this is the most guests we've had on one episode. We have three people, three very different, but I think all Carmel resident people, mm-hmm. who are talking about Star Wars, because next week, Star Wars The Last Jedi opens up. This is episode 8 in the saga, and we've got big Star Wars fans here with very different backgrounds. I'm going to go through and introduce them all, and then we'll start the conversation. And I anticipate I won't have to say much, because these guys have a lot to say about Star Wars. So if you are a Star Wars fan, feel free to listen in, because there's going to be a lot of good talk here. We got Brian Poindexter, judge of the city of Carmel. We've got Greg Sorvig. He is director of programming and marketing for Heartland Film. And we've got Craig Mintz, and he is the head honcho at IMAX State Museum, which is probably the best place to watch Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Here's your $5. Thank you.
And we're going to start off. We'll just go through, and I'll ask everyone, when did you first fall in love with Star Wars? And we'll start with Craig, and we'll go down to Brian.
Wow, that's a tough one, actually. So long story short, I was actually born May 25th, 1977. So I was actually born on the day the first Star Wars came out. So I was kind of born under the sign of Star Wars. I know I was taken to see Empire as a child, but I distinctly remember going to the theater to see Return of the Jedi and having to wait like 4 or 5 tries because we couldn't get in because it had sold out. The line was wrapped around the theater. And I think that's where kind of the whole concept for me of Star Wars and kind of just being enthralled with it came from. And I had to have all the toys at that point, and it was a downhill slide after that.
What about you, Greg?
I think I was, first memory, I was a fetus, and my projection, which later became an arm, was a lightsaber in my role playing. I think I was born in 84, so I think I was literally a fetus when Return of the Jedi came out. Yeah. So actually, come to think of it, I was trying to remember this too. I think actually my first movie was the Ewok Adventure before.
I've never seen that. Yeah. My wife loves it.
I mean, not within the same canon, but they're fun. They're fun. I mean, that's the thing too. And then I call it the Dark Ages, really from 84 through, up until episode 1.
Yeah.
Toys came out, Resurgence in 95, but there's a kid, it's like, you would watch a movie at school, fifth grade, so someone brought Return of the Jedi, and then just fell in love from that point. And we started a Star Wars fan club, and this was, again, I'm in this weird, it's like millennial but not millennial type, right on the early cusp of that generation gap. So I remember I made custom fan club cards to have 5 kids, and the whole thing would be we would go to Suncoast Video in the
place.
Mall, because that was the only place. Not like now you just go online and you can talk to people. We were going to go and probably buy overpriced trading cards and really crappy toys that are worth half the price now too. So those are my first memories, and then really just went from there. From 1995, all the new toys came out, and I had a wallpaper. I was in some action figure magazine and stuff too, and it's really grown from there. So that's how it started.
Obviously, I was the oldest one, or I had the oldest one. I had a driver's license. I actually drove to what we did, the Eastwood Theater on the east side of Indianapolis, and to the opening. That would have been May.
Was it in 70 millimeter? Did they have the Cinerama then?
All I know is I was inside, and I got to watch the movie.
Yeah.
I took my best friend, Tom Black, and my brother to watch the movie, and they captured my attention. I watched through the original series and the prequels, and I even went so far as I read the books that were authorized on the side that kind of give you a whole different storyline and maybe some insights into the next movie. That are now legend, yeah.
So next question. So we've been treated with 2 Star Wars movies recently, both in Force Awakens and Rogue One. And this is a debate. So we have a lot of debates here with the dining room staff here in Donatello's. And one debate we have, which is better, Force Awakens or Rogue One? I like Force Awakens better. I got a guy who swears to God that Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie, even better than Empire. Tell me, which is better, Force Awakens or Rogue One? We'll start with Brian this time and go to Craig.
I like Rogue One. I like the fact that they kind of picked up a genre from the books. It's called your fighter pilot, special operations group, go out and fight the bad guy. I think between the two, that's my favorite, Rogue One.
I was thinking about this. I think for the how much I love Star Wars movies, I don't rewatch them over and over all the time. But I think right now, at this point in time, Rogue One has the rewatchability factor for me, top on my list, to just sit back and watch it again, too. I'll give the edge to Rogue One, I think. Just there's a little bit more grittiness, and I think that's what maybe some of the adult fans were looking for. But I liked Episode 7 a lot, and in the multiple times I saw it in the theater, it grew on me a lot more. But I think it's really just a, I don't want to say a rehash, it's not as simple as that, too, but it's sitting up a lot of the same conventions, I think, for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
So, fantastic movie, reintroducing for regardless of what age, the spectrum of fan you are. But Rogue One, yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, I'm with Greg on this one. I think between the two, Episode 7 and Rogue One, they're neck and neck.
Right.
I think Rogue One ekes out Episode 7 just a little bit, just from that grittiness, from that. It sutures up a lot of storylines, like the flaw in the Death Star. You introduce some of the other characters from some of the other Star Wars franchises, like Rebels. You see, like, oh, the little droid from Rebels. So they're starting to stitch all that stuff together. Whereas with Episode 7, like, I took my 7-year-old daughter to go see that, and she loved it, and I loved that she loved it. So you appreciate it a little bit differently, you know, in that it does speak to more generations, and it kind of unifies those generations under one umbrella that is, you know, the Star Wars saga. Whereas Rogue One, I think it you know, I wouldn't show my daughter that yet. It's probably a little too gritty, and I think it plays, you know, to an older audience.
But I think just those things that you're talking about, like the flaw in the Death Star, I think there's things that I think myself and a lot of other fans maybe have beef with in The Force Awakens that won't look as convenient in the next movie, I guess, as well.
So next part is we're going to talk about theories. Now, a lot of people had some theories of what's going to happen in the next one, or whether we'll have to wait till Episode 9 to find out the answers. Probably the big question a lot of people have. First, what is Snoke? This giant head-like creature. Was it Andy Serkis who does it?
Yeah.
That this motion capture, dark side, I don't know what he is. And then second, the other big reveal that we have been told will come out, who are Rey's parents, or what is Rey's parents, Rey, the female protagonist in Force Awakens? We'll start with Craig. Give us any or both of their theories. What do you think?
To the Snoke side, and this is going to be a stretch, I personally think that Snoke is Luke's dark side that he expels somehow, kind of like a Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you watch some of these early trailers, and Luke doesn't really seem quite like himself, and he's so scared of becoming dark that I feel like maybe at some point he finds some way to get that out of him, and this is the embodiment of the dark side and the evil that came out of him. They do tease a lot that he plays both sides in all the marketing materials, both light and dark. So it's like, there's something there. I just don't feel like he's just going to straight up flip to the dark side. So I don't know. I feel like Snoke isn't really anything other than kind of an embodiment of the dark side or the evil. And as far as Rey's parents, I mean, honestly, I'd almost prefer that they don't reveal parents. Like, she just has a normal lineage, and she just wakes up with the Force. Like, I feel like when you start, you know, forcing some, you know, oh, is it Luke? Is it, you know, Leia? Is it whatever? It's like, I don't know, you're hamstringing the plot. I feel like she can just be a Jedi all by herself, and, you know, her parents are just bad parents, I guess.
It's Rey Gon Jinn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, don't worry about it. I think for me, a theory that I love online is that Snoke is one of the younglings that survived the attack.
Yeah.
With Anakin there at the Jedi Temple and stuff, too. That might be a stretch, but if you look at a lot of the scarring and stuff, too, it looks like looks like Sebastian Shaw, Darth Vader, as well. So you get, in the legends and everything, too, you think, like, the Clone Emperor and all these things, too. So you wonder, hey, there's a hand floating around somewhere. There's Darth Vader's body. Obviously, they got his helmet, so someone was hanging out, chilling.
Yeah.
By the funeral pyre in time. I had to pick up this helmet. What else
there's a finger.
Yeah, but the thing that's, it was really funny, if you look at the outfits now, the toys are out. Snoke has these gold slippers. So he's almost like the metrosexual Hugh Hefner playboy of the Star Wars.
And he's huge. Isn't he like 9 foot tall?
Something crazy like that. Yeah. But now you see him doing this Force type thing with Rey. But they said he's not a Sith in some early interview now with Rian Johnson.
They said he's dark. He's more powerful than Vader.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I like that Voldemort thing too, but I also wonder if it's some type of clone thing. Because again, it's Kylo wanting to finish what Vader started. And maybe if there's some little piece of Vader in this guy somehow, and he's almost keeping him alive. But we'll go into other stuff too. I think Han did give himself up and was able to be killed. And I think by the end of this movie too, Rey and Kylo will be switched, and Kylo will be more on the light side, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Rey, that's just kind of a thought, the yin and yang. But my big theory with Rey, the parentage, this is all about the Skywalkers, and if she's the main person in this new trilogy, has to be related to the Skywalkers in some capacity, I would guess, unless they keep Luke and Leia going forward and stuff too. But I think they will reveal either Finn or Rey's parentage, I think, at this point, because they're both mysterious Madonna-like.
I don't know if we're going to see Finn's parentage. So, and if Finn's parentage
Well, Lando's
is,
not in the
if
movie,
it's Lando,
so.
I will be so mad, because there are has to be more than two black people in the Star Wars universe. Come on, people.
We'll see. But it's just weird that, we'll kind of go from there, too. But I think Rey, I think that one of the reveals that I'm thinking of is that I think you look at the visions that Rey had, and that's one of my biggest beefs with The Force Awakens. Maz's castle has been hanging out there for 1,000 years. Han's going to just go in there and yell across the bar, and they're looking for this droid across the entire, hey, Maz, how's it going? And then, so I think the obvious thing that it looks like, which hopefully it's not, is that Han is the father of Rey, and that means it would be Kylo, and Rey would be brother and sister. But my main theory is that Rey was on Act 2, or whatever the academy was, with Kylo at some point in time. I think when crap hit the fan, potentially, either there's some force outburst that Rey didn't control and she had some trauma and it was her that really killed everybody. Mm. That's one thing. I don't think that's as likely, but I think Han got Rey out of Dodge. And if you look in the visions, Unkar Plutt, the guy who was giving the rations in The Force Awakens, was there with Rey as she was saying no. So I think it's not a coincidence that the Falcon was there, everything too. So I wonder if it's like, hey, everyone else is dead, let's hide out over here too. So those are my thoughts.
All right, Snoke, I think it's going to be a fallen Jedi. I like the idea that maybe one of the younglings survived and became even more powerful. They're not a Sith Lord. The Sith are gone from the universe, so you've got maybe a youngling that survived. All right, let's borrow from the books, because this particular, the last movie did. It was one of the Solo children from the books that went bad, only it was Jason. Mm-hmm. Okay, the names have changed, but still one of the Solo children went bad. In the background, there was this figure that was a fallen Jedi, Lumia, that had basically pulled Jason Solo over to the dark. So you've got this fallen Jedi possibility out there. And the reason I go back to in these little teasers there's given us, Luke says it's time for the Jedi to end. Is it because of his anger, his concerns about himself? Is it because this is a fallen Jedi that brought the problem back to him? So I like that idea. The fallen Jedi, somebody from the Order, a youngling that survived. Now, parentage. Anakin Skywalker appears on a desert planet with this wild force ability. Then we've got Rey on
with no father.
And Rey appears on a desert planet with no father that we know of that we can identify with this wild, untamed force ability. I kind of like that wild card that they've got going there. There's no anchor this time. This particular franchise can do a lot of fascinating things. Let's look at this. Episodes 4, 5, and 6 started out everybody's interest, and they were an anchor. So all of the trilogy or the prologue, the prequels, whatever backstory they gave us, had to march up and give us the characters that were going to be in 4, 5, and 6. They don't have that limitation anymore. They can completely step away. They could switch. They could switch Kylo Ren and Rey could switch. One could go light, one could go dark. It seems like there's an extraordinary amount of turmoil there. Mm-hmm. And everybody with wild force ability so far in this series has gone dark at least one point in time. Anakin did, and if Rey has this wild force ability too, maybe we're going to see a switch where she goes to the dark side.
She's got to be tempted at some point. In an interview, Rian Johnson, I think he started fresh, and his first thing he thought was, what's the most crazy challenge every character can face? So got to be tempted.
We all know that it's probably Admiral Akbar who is the parents of Rey with the giant fish head.
It's a trap.
I have a crazy theory, and I'll be quick. Because first, I think Snoke is Emperor Palpatine kind of reincarnated into a new form. I think I kind of see the similarities, and I kind of have this theory like there's always this overwhelming evil in the universe. But it's got to be balanced by a light side. There has to be a balance. So if you have this evil force, there's got to be a light side to balance it. I think this is my crazy theory, because it all plays back to, this is really kind of the story of the Bible. If you look at it, you have to have the virgin birth, like Anakin, and then it grows up to be the chosen one. So kind of same similar story, except this time with a female protagonist. I think that Rey was not born of any parents, but created by Snoke to be a weapon for the dark side of the Force. And then somehow the Jedi's Luke stole her, kidnapped her, because they knew it was going to be a weapon, and had her with parents similar to, you know, Luke, to kind of protect her and hide her from the evil Empire. And her parents had to leave because it was compromising, you know, her location. So to keep her safe, they had to go. Mm-hmm. So the people who raised her, not important. Those aren't her real parents. They were kind of Jedi safeguards. But she's going to find out she's not born of any parents. She is a weapon. And but then you have a choice. You have a choice whether or not to be good or evil. All right. So they have announced that it's already started filming. I don't know if it's finished. The Han Solo movie by Ron Howard. I know they had to switch directors. That's coming out next year. And they're throwing out ideas of all other sorts of standalone Star Wars movies. There's going to be a new trilogy with Rian Johnson somewhere in the universe. But here's my question to you. What Star Wars movie would you like to see? Do you want to see an Obi-Wan movie? Do you want to see a Yoda movie? Do you want to see what kind of Star Wars standalone movie, pick a character, would you like to see them do? And I'm going to start with Brian and go to Craig.
I think it's time to give Lando Calrissian his due. We need to do a Lando series. How did this swashbuckling, good-looking guy make his way through women in the universe? And how did he end up truly with the Millennium Falcon? Because everybody else, you know, Han tends to win hands down. But how did he get him? How did he end up losing the Falcon? How did he get the Falcon? So Lando would be... We need a standalone franchise.
And they have Donald Glover cast as Lando in the Han Solo movie, so it would be a great segue. I think that's actually a pretty good idea. What do you think, Greg? What would you like to see?
I think the Jedi and the prequels are so kind of blasé, in my opinion. I think, again, I call it the Dark Ages of imagining what the prequels are going to be like, and then not having that really come to fruition. There are a lot of things. I think there's such a long lineage of Jedi. There's got to be some kind of cool story kind of around that at some point. I don't think, again, I was never into the book, so I think people keep talking about those. The series that have already been around, what's the Old Republic stuff, and Knights of the Old Republic and stuff too.
You had Old Republic video games that I never played, but are apparently hugely popular.
Yeah.
So there's some stories there that people wanted to see on the screen.
They could do a Rogue One redemption movie of why look like, you know, the plot that was like cheesecloth with these Sith bad guys are not hanging out. That's something worth that. And Samuel Jackson would be back in some capacity. He wants to return as...
The man doesn't age, so you could use him.
Basically. So some kind of... And again, just a cool thing, but I also love all the side characters. I would watch 30 years worth of every other year a movie about a cantina alien and just keep going like, oh, here's the...
here's Hammerhead.
Yeah. The Ponda Papa trilogy. It's going to be awesome. So, I would go... That route, something cool with the Jedi. And I think initially, too, and the Clone Wars has addressed this, I haven't watched it, too, but I always envisioned, like, hundreds of Boba Fetts fighting the Jedi and stuff, too, but I think it's,
the Mandalorian, the Mandalorian, that race or whatever, that would be fascinating.
That would be really cool.
I like, I do like the idea of an Obi-Wan film. I think there's a lot of story there between, the end of the prequels and the beginning of the Holy Trilogy. There could be some really good storylines there.
Well, 20 years in the desert, unexplained. He's like Moses. He disappears into the desert. And it's unexplained. What did he do? Well, he wandered around for a while. Obviously, he did something.
Old Ben, right?
And that's been announced, right? Hasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
There's a writer attached to it. Oh. I'm pretty confident. I don't know if it was the official Star Wars announcement. But
should they bring back Ewan McGregor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you watch, Last Days in the Desert came out, which was Jesus as he was coming out of the last 40 days. And someone did a fan trailer of this Obi-Wan movie, and it looks just like that. So I think you kind of get the look and feel of that. And it's something that's, I think there's a lot of room. I think the saga has a certain, they have certain conventions that you expect from a Star Wars film and different beats and things of that nature, too.
Well, he could talk to the Force ghosts at that point, too, yes. Right? So, like, there's a lot of tutelage going on there.
Yeah.
So it's not like he just was in that desert by himself, so to speak. I'm sure Yoda was flying around there.
Yeah, it's not like he's
spying on him.
Like, an early retirement home, he's going to the...
Oh, yeah.
The local grocer.
Well, he's a crazy old guy living in a cave talking to ghosts. There's a story in and of itself.
What about the events between Episode 6 and Episode 7? There could be mine for something. Maybe a Poe Dameron movie. I'm sorry, these names are so confusing. It's easy to just get them confused. The Poe Dameron movie, something like that.
Well, there's 30 years that they could backfill in order to... How did we end up with Luke alone on this island and his lightsaber stashed away in a 1,000-year-old castle at the other side of the universe?
Well, I mean, they've said that Episode 9 locks it all in. Like, I think that version of the Star Wars universe is complete at that point. So that when Rian Johnson starts his trilogy, like, I don't think they're going to want to go back and reference any of that old stuff. Namely because Disney then owns it from that point on. So they can just create and make their own money at that point. It'll be interesting to see.
The easy cash grab would be an Ahsoka Tano movie. I mean, that
you
will...
go so obscure. I don't even know what you're talking.
So this is the character. This is that's the thing. So if right now, like, there's the fanboys and girls who, it's like if you get a quasi attractive female character in the Star Wars, well, they shoot up in popularity. So Rey's popular, Jyn Erso is wildly popular, and then Ahsoka Tano is the character of the two lightsabers in Rebels. What's your species? I'm trying to remember the... It was a prequels alien.
It's not that green lady in Return of the Jedi with the big ears.
That's Twi'lek with stuff too. But yeah, she was... Shaak Ti was the female Jedi in the prequels, and it's
the
same species.
The green.
She kind of had white and red, like the dark eyes and stuff too. So see, I know all the random species from the original trilogy, but
there's a character that's coming on strong, and they said they brought her back or enhanced her role. Captain Phasm, the silver armored leader of the new generation.
They hyped her up in seven, and then they just threw her in a trash compactor. You're like, what just happened? You're like, this strong female evil lead, and she just gets chucked in the trash.
There's some research that said as a Lego toy, that particular toy did really well on the marketing. Hence the reason that she's back now is that the Lego toy. So, you know, these people are wonderful marketers. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to leave something on the table and not have a Captain Phasm. You want to know who she's named after.
The Phantasma.
The horror film Phantasm from 1979.
Well, I just know when I took my dog to Petco the other day, it was stocked with Star Wars dog toys everywhere. Because, you know, your dog really cares about whether it's a Star Wars toy as opposed to a Star Trek one. So there's a lot of money to be made. Mm. We're going to take a quick break because we're going to come back with the group, but we got to we had to do a little ad for a second. We don't have any money yet, but so we'll be right back in just a minute.
Hamilton County Goes to the Movies is recorded each week at Donatello's Italian Restaurant, 9 West Main Street in downtown Carmel. To check out the menu, go online at donatellositalian.com. When you come for dinner, ask about Adam's Gelato. If you enjoy Hamilton County Goes to the Movies, spread the word. Share links with your friends. Our podcast is also available on iTunes. Just search under podcasts, Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. Now back to our panel discussion on Star Wars.
And we're back. This is an extra long panel episode because we have a lot to talk about with Star Wars, The Last Jedi opening. Now, you're working the whole time, right, Craig?
Yeah.
So do you have your tickets ready, everybody, it's Thursday night that it opens. I'm going Sunday. I know I'm not going Thursday, but I do have a job. But I got my tickets opening weekend. So Brian, are you going opening weekend yet?
It I don't have tickets. If I can find them, I will go. But if not, then I'll trickle in a day.
Well, somebody
or two.
Just if they get a speeding ticket, they can trade.
No,
there.
No. That's a really bad idea. People that do that end up on a prison planet, which would be a whole nother movie that they could do. But my wife and my daughter have been so kind. It's over the years have gone with me if I can get the three tickets, and I think the last one or so. We've been to Brewhouse, I think, Flicks, for the last one or two, and they've either enjoyed it or indulged me. It doesn't really matter as long as I get to go. So probably not the first night, in the first weekend, hopefully.
So, Greg, you're going opening night two, right?
I'll be at Craig's place here. You know, so, I'll be at the State Museum, 7 o'clock.
When do you take your daughter? Because your daughter's pretty young.
She probably won't. I really wanted her to go see Coco. I think that would be fun, but I think she's starting to watch Pixar movies now, and we've actually made it all the way through a couple. Monsters, Inc., she supposedly likes and stuff, too. But, we did. Her first movie was Follow That Bird with Serial Cinema.
Oh, yeah.
But we were in, the back platform area, so she could eat cereal and run
around.
She's
more intrigued by the cereal.
It's like half an hour. Yeah. Realistically, it's probably going to be a home viewing. Mm.
Now, Craig, you get a special preview or something. You're an important guy there.
Well, we're one of 10 IMAX theaters in the country that is showing it in film. So we'll be actually running an IMAX 70mm film. Film, unlike digital, is not as trustworthy in that you have to watch it. It's got splices, it's got audio, you got to make sure everything syncs up properly. So, yes, the film will run in the IMAX theater before it opens on Thursday. Yes, I will be in the building somewhere.
But you're not going to tell everyone what happened.
No. I would never do that. That's no fun. So, honestly, I could have seen it already by now, but I'd rather see it, in my theater on my screen.
So everyone who sees it opening weekend, here's my question. When do the expiration date on spoilers expire? Because there was a big spoiler in Force Awakens that a lot of people posted opening day, opening weekend, and then people got mad and said, well, you should have gone and seen the movie already. But, you get busy. It is Christmas time. When do you think it's fair to finally discuss publicly what happens in this new movie?
Your next podcast.
We're pretty spoiler adverse here. We try to be fair to our listeners. Anyone have any thoughts on spoilers there?
Everybody tries to cram it in opening weekend. Honestly, keep spoilers off social media, period. I don't think that's very fair, unless it's like a private group that everybody's seen it. Mm. I think you start to see, you can make it to Sunday night, Monday morning. I think it starts, even the press starts talking about reactions at that point. So, if you stay off social media till you see it, if you can't make it to Monday.
I bet you this time the media is not so restrained. There's been such a buildup. I don't know if they're going to wait till Monday to announce everybody's reaction. They may try and one-up each other and start that over the weekend. You
don't be that guy who stays on social media and complains that someone ruins it for him, because someone's going to post something about it. So just stay off the grid, I guess.
It's probably a good thing that you check out of social media for a couple days.
Seriously, if you will ruin it for yourself if you do that. There's no way around it. That's like when I still care about The Walking Dead. Like, unless I forced myself to watch it that night, I knew I had to.
That's we have to at the theater, because we only have the one theater, we have an entry on the downstairs and the exit on the upstairs. The people that exit walk by the entry of the theater. When I do my introduction, I make sure that they don't say anything as they're walking by the people going into the theater, to try to make sure that, they're not spoiling something in conversation walking back to the car.
Can I do a young Homer Simpson cosplay?
Yes, where he says, Return of the Jedi with March.
Yeah. But come out in costume and say the wrong thing as people
throw them off.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I did do that when I was playing trivia over at Muldoon's. You had to have your team name a trivia, and mine was, it was like a week or two after Star Wars Force Awakens came out, and mine was Chewbacca dies in Force Awakens, which does not happen. But every time they said the team name, people are like, does he really? Yeah.
Did you see someone had that was the thing that was going around after Force Awakens. Someone had a huge decal on the back of their car that said Han gets killed in Force Awakens. It was driving around and everyone was just posting these hate messages online because people was driving around town.
Yeah, if you want to get tailgated, that's a good idea. So
you can get that window bashed in.
Yeah.
All right, so now the Star Wars universe, you think it's in good hands with Disney? I know they've had some directors have to be changed, both in Star Wars Episode 9. J.J. Abrams is going to come back because Colin Trevorrow, who did Jurassic World and kind of had a flop this year with The Book of Henry, one of the worst movies of 2017, in my opinion. He's taken off that project. And the Han Solo movie had to change directors, too. Smart move bringing in Ron Howard, because not only is he an Oscar-winning director, but when he was learning to be a director, he went on the set of Star Wars and hung out with his buddy George Lucas, who he worked with on American Graffiti. Do you feel like they're in good hands with Disney, or do you have some trepidation? Anyone?
Well, I think Disney's more the money man in this situation. I think it's still under like Kathleen Kennedy and stuff like that. So I think the vision that is the Star Wars universe is still under the same, you know, hands it's been in, you know, for years. There's just a lot more money behind it that can sure. secure some of those directors. But, you know, they were talking about, and I always butcher his name, the guy that did Thor recently, I can never say his name.
I'll just keep it over there.
We'll sub it in. Like, they're talking about how they'd like to see him take a Star Wars franchise. And it's like, I think they're trying to do and have some fun with it. But at the same time, I think they do a really good job. And they know when they need to exit somebody really quick.
Well, Disney is good at making money. They're good about protecting their brand. And they're good about making their brand accessible to a new generation and meaningful to a new generation of viewers. Right. And they've repeated that decade after decade after decade. So I think this was probably one of the best things that could happen, for it to be reacquired with a group that is going to have the ability to infuse cash and buy talent. And market it in such a fashion. I think our grandkids, if we have them, are going to be going to these movies or a version of them in the future.
Well, if it wasn't for Disney, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Episode 7
not at all.
Happened.
Right.
So,
and it was with the resources, I think, and the support and everything too. And that's the thing. I have full faith in Kathleen Kennedy, and I think it's in fantastic hands. And I think Disney has a lot of plans, and it's an asset they want to protect. But they know that to keep it fresh as well. And with the Marvel Universe, they've done a great job with that, of still kind of keeping that fresh, and people still love it. And, oh, they have 20 more movies coming out that they can talk about. But it sounds like that's the thing. It's not – so people, I think, who just blindly badmouth Disney, Lucasfilm is still its own thing. Kathleen Kennedy is the head of it. But if you look at Rian Johnson, he started from scratch, and he did whatever he wanted. And basically, Pablo Hidalgo, these people come in through continuity, and they have meetings. But from everything that I've heard, it's very open, and they support the people who do the projects. Mm-hmm. But it's when you stray off the path. It's almost like...
when you're off formula.
Yeah, I went to work, and I said, I'm going to do all this new stuff. I can't just do that. And if I get reprimanded a few times or something, then, hey, you still have to play by those rules. Yeah. And you can't be... That's what the criticism I heard about Trevorrow and Lord and Taylor is that they had their own vision, their own way of doing stuff, and you're within the system.
You're within the system.
Yeah, a lot of money in stake too, but there's a freshness to it. If you watch the Star Wars show, it's an amazing like weekly podcast video series they have. Adds kind of fresh life to it too. They've put life into it that I always hoped for when I was living in those dark ages. I'll call it to you. I remember where I was exactly in the point in time when the news broke that Disney acquired Star Wars. And that's one of the, again, people, a lot of traumatic things in your life that you remember where you were, but this was a happy one for me, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of looking forward to the Disney Star Wars theme park they're going to do. I think that sounds pretty cool.
We will get to walk on the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I know. How cool is that?
Well, we're going to wrap things up, but I do want to end with one final question. Just tell us, if you could be any character in the Star Wars universe, who would you be and why?
I'd want to be Boba Fett. I don't want to be tangled up in all those politics of, you know, the Jedi or the Sith. If they just pay me money to go capture people and blow things up, that would be absolutely the best job in the universe.
Would you be okay with being a clone?
The clones were pretty good looking. I think I could make that work for me too. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the beauty of Star Wars. I think every time you watch it, you see a little bit of yourself in almost every character. Yeah. And I always went back and forth too, but Obi-Wan has the class. He's got the lightsaber. He's you've seen his whole life trajectory and stuff too. I think I'd probably go the Obi-Wan route.
He was the last classically trained Jedi,
right?
You know. I was like Chewie. I was like the sidekick angle. Like, and I mean, he's made it this far, right? He's probably going to make it through the end of it. So, but yeah, he was always that great, you know, dog, if you will, that I thought it was always neat that he was, you know, he's the one that fixed the ship. He was the one that co-piloted the ship. It's like, you can't go wrong with Chewie.
And actually, I think that's Force Awakens was probably his best movie, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
The lines that, I think the crowd reaction to some of his stuff was...
It's going to get better in the next one when he's got
his Chewbacca's hair going gray. Was that just me being crazy?
Some streaks in there.
Just for just for Wookiees. Yeah.
the ultimate sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I will say that's my Star Wars pet peeve when people spell Wookiee with only one E at the end. It's not like a cookie, it's two E's. I E E.
Same in Wikipedia. They did it right there. Yeah.
You want to piss me off?
You don't get soft, Greg. You got Wookiee spelling.
How you spell Wookiee. There you go. Don't set him off.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. May the Force be with you. And I hope you have a great viewing experience next week at Force Awakens. Everyone, come listen to our podcast next week. We have some good guests coming up at the end of the month here with the Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. A lot of best of lists as we wrap up 2017. So thank you all for joining us today.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you
for having us.
On this week's special edition podcast, we had a group discussion about the new Star Wars film and the Star Wars saga in general. A special thanks to all our guests. By the way, Adam and I will review the new Star Wars film in one of our future podcasts. Hamilton County Goes to the Movies is recorded each week at Donatello's Italian Restaurant, 9 West Main Street in downtown Carmel. Adam and his family will take good care of you for lunch or dinner. We will return there next week for another edition of our podcast. In the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll talk again.